Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he delivered us up from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And him we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. And for this purpose I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Amen. Colossians 1:24 through 27, one more time. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister, according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This morning, we will look at two very key elements of our walk as the church of God, as his beloved, for his sake and for his glory on this earth. We will consider the attitude that should be an integral part of our everyday, moment-by-moment life. We will also consider some of the very basic aspects of the mystery of Christ, albeit very briefly, with hearts which seek after the Lord to reveal himself to a greater measure day by day. For a long time, we as the church have been praying for a heart of thankfulness unto God to be established in a deeper and very direct measure within us, individually and corporately. When we approach life set in thankfulness to the Lord for all that he is and is doing in our lives, we bring hearts before him that bless him. This is something that is to become the very nature of our beings as we learn to be content in all that we have in Jesus Christ. We should find ourselves in a continual attitude of thankfulness unto God, no matter what we are experiencing on this earth. Sure, it is easy to thank him when all is going well, when we remember that he is our benefactor. Deuteronomy 8:7 through 10. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you shall eat food without scarcity, in which you shall not lack anything. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. But how about in those times of difficulty and strife and anguish? Do we still thank him? Or do we blame him? I have had numerous people complain to me that what they are experiencing leaves no place for thankfulness unto God. How can we thank him for the loss of our spouses, our children, our homes, our jobs, our health? What we need to do is to learn to thank him for the fact that he so loves us, so cherishes our hearts, that he is actively at work to show forth His omnipotence, His omnipresence, His omniscience in our lives. I agree. Thankfulness for the circumstances is often seemingly difficult, if not impossible. But that is because our eyes are focused on us, on our suffering, on how it affects us in the scheme of things. However, with a different viewpoint in our lives, it should not be difficult to thank Him for the great love with which He loves us, especially as He becomes the focus of our hearts through these hard times. It is when we realize that He loves us so much that He takes us through the trials and tribulations in order to establish an eternal trust and faith in Him alone in our lives, that we can give Him thanks. It is when we look to Christ in the midst of the fiercest storm that we can thank Him for being our salvation, our refuge, our anchor of hope, even in the midst of all the despair buffeting against us. The Apostle Paul does so in our current passage of consideration. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of His body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. He rejoices in His sufferings. He is thankful that He can help bear the burden for the sake of the church. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, He tells us, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Please note, we are to rejoice always. There is no exception. Even when we are in the midst of the most severe trials and circumstances, we are to rejoice in the Lord God Almighty. He's the only one, after all, who can do anything about those circumstances. We are to pray constantly. When we pray, we are in communication heart to heart and spirit to spirit with the Lord. We are not talking about those memorized prayers that we were taught. We're talking about the prayers that come forth from the heart unto God. And we are to give Him thanks no matter what. We are to see His hand in operation and thank Him that He so loves us that He is effectively working to bring us into the conformity of the life of Jesus Christ. He chastises us because He loves us. We are His children, and He is lovingly at work to establish Christ in us, no matter what it takes. For such an all-encompassing love, we should always thank and bless Him. The psalmist knew this, as he indicates in several psalms of thanksgiving to God for the love that He has showered upon the earth and upon His people. Psalms 100, verses 3 through 5. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the heart that brings pleasure to God. We are to bless him in everything, every word, every thought, every deed. That is the sincere outcome of a constant spirit of thanksgiving, which is the least of what we should be unto God. Psalms 100, verses 21 and 22. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. And tell of his works with joyful singing. That is what we bring to the Lord. But it shouldn't just be Sunday mornings. It should be the songs of joy that are in our heart this day and every day as we walk with him. Psalms 92, 1 through 3. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to thy name, O Most High, to declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness by night, with the 10-stringed lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. Psalms 50, 14 and 15. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you and you will honor me. It should be with unspeakable joy that we recognize and live in the truth that God will deliver us in the day of trouble. He is our protector. He is our shield. He is our hiding place from all the terrors of this realm. In that, we, his people, should be offering up all the glory of our hearts unto him. We should find ourselves with a thank you on our lips to him constantly. After all, what is there of this world that we have to fear when we are in Jesus Christ? For that we should be saying thank you. With every step we take, it should be with thanks in our hearts. In Christ, we have everything that we need. We should not spend our time frivolously seeking the things of this age. We are called to live lives that are pleasing unto God, a living sacrifice of worship unto him. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He will shield us. He will guard us. He will guard our hearts in this world. Nothing can get by him. Absolutely nothing. He will guard our minds. When we're giving in to thoughts that we shouldn't have, look to the Lord. He'll guard that. He'll change those thoughts. He'll focus them on Jesus Christ instead of poor, pitiful me. He will guard our minds and hearts. In earnest thanksgiving unto God, we will find that we are at peace in every situation and dilemma. A peace that passes all understanding, that this world will not recognize, will not know how to react to, when we have the peace of God showing forth from us in the worst of trials. We will not have to frustrate or stress or worry. We will know as our faith grows in Him that He has all things well in hand. And for that, we can thank Him. Again in Colossians 1, 11 and 12, we are strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you realize, truly realize, that it is God who has made us His saints through the faultless sacrifice of His only begotten Son? In Jesus Christ, we are brought into a living relationship with God, and we should think of that with ceaseless praises of thanksgiving, that we know the Lord God Almighty. He has made us part of His very family. Colossians 3:15 through 17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Are we thankful for the Word of God? The Word of God, which is our source of guidance and instruction in His way. Are we thankful that as we endure the trials of this age, we can lose ourselves in His Word? And what a glorious aspect that is, to lose ourselves in the Word of God. In the recounting of the faithful ones with hearts after God, to consider Hosea, Daniel, Ruth, David, Esther, Abraham, Moses, Paul, and Peter, to name just a few. Are we thankful that we can learn in life the person of Christ through His living and glorious Word? When we're in those trials, aren't we so thankful that in His Word we find comfort, that in His Word we find life, that in His Word, He shows us His gloriousness? Ephesians 5:18 through 20. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Always giving thanks for all things. Not just good. Not just those mediocre things. We give Him thanks for everything. Are we thankful that we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, guiding us, bringing life to us through His Word? Has it dawned on us that when we face anything in this world, we are not facing it alone? So often, when we focus on ourselves, we think we're the only one suffering this, that we're alone in this. But that is not the case. The very Spirit of God is with us in everything. We have the very Spirit of God at work within us to bring forth only that which will please the Father. Have we come to appreciate the ministry of the Holy Spirit as He opens up the continual truth of living by the faith of Jesus Christ in order to face every day in the power of His resurrection? To face every day everything in the power of Christ's resurrection. Are our hearts settled in the truth that we are alive because He reigns in us, and we are being brought by the Holy Spirit into the surety of that reality, moment by moment and day by day? In an intense spirit and heart of thankfulness, the apostle then goes on to declare that God has now revealed the great mystery that was hidden for ages and generations, the mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Obviously, we cannot exhaust this truth, because all of eternity will not be sufficient to learn all that God has instituted in our inclusion and indwelling by Christ. We can, however, begin to look at a few elements this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts. As the apostle writes concerning the church, after he has stated that he rejoices in his suffering for the sake of the church, "Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to His saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." There are many different aspects to the mystery of Christ. The word translated here is mystery, according to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, refers to a mystery of divine nature that remains hidden from human beings because their normal powers of comprehension are insufficient. Nonetheless, these mysteries are intended for human beings, and when known, prove profitable to them. End of quote. The mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory, is completely incomprehensible to the natural human mind. It is only as we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, as our living relationship with Christ is established in our heart, as we seek Him alone, as we yield our lives unto His Lordship, that we begin to see, to have our spiritual eyes opened to this mystery. As we read in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 11, "Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. The things of God are exactly that, the things of God. Without His indwelling Spirit, we are unable to know all the heavenly treasures that God the Father has lavished upon us in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why, when we try to explain Christ in us to the natural man, those who are spiritually dead in this world, they cannot comprehend what we're talking about. No matter how succinct we are, no matter how persuasive our words might be, no matter how basic we make it in trying to explain what it means to live by Christ, they will not get it until they have turned with all their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. God's plan and purpose required that this relationship of Christ in us remain hidden from the elements of this age. It is so because He will brook no interference to the gloriousness of the Lordship of His Son. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times. That is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. God's intent has always been the inclusion of the Gentiles in Christ. The Jews selfishly desired to keep themselves separated from the Gentiles. Even Paul had to publicly deal with Peter in his action of exclusion toward the Gentile believers. That brought to the forefront the attitude of exclusiveness that festered in the Jews. Not so with God. Even in the Old Testament, the prophets announced that God's people would be a light to the world, that God's purposes were to gather together all those who would respond to His love. That was part of the mystery, as so declared by Paul in Ephesians 3, 1 through 6. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, how the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Another aspect of the mystery of Christ, as declared by the Apostle Paul, is the fact that it is through what Christ has accomplished in creating and washing the church that all of creation will be witness to the splendor of the great love with which He loves us. Ephesians 3, 8 through 10. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. The wisdom of God will be in evidence to all of creation in the presentation of the bride of Christ to her betrothed. We will radiate not our glory, but His glory unto all of those who witness the miracle brought into being by the death, resurrection, and lordship of Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus Christ that God has hidden all the true issues of life. As He lives, so do we have life. As He reigns, so do we have refuge and peace and joy. He is our wisdom, because He is the very Word of God. Colossians 2, 2 and 3. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In 1 Timothy 3:16, the Apostle takes us even deeper into the mystery. That mystery is Christ Himself. And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the Spirit, beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Next week, Lord willing, we will deal more fully with the mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory, as we continue with our Colossian text. Please take these things before the Lord for Him to validate that which is of Him. We must count on Him to open in life, in our hearts, and in our spirits the absolute truth of this mystery of Christ. Our hope is built on nothing other than Him. Ephesians 4:4 through 7. There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let us together seek to have the measure of Christ increased within us, His body. Let us learn to be thankful in everything, if for nothing else than that we are saved by Christ's death and resurrection. As that resurrection power is alive in us, we will find that we are evermore living unto the glory of God. We will discover that we are alive by the indwelling Holy Spirit and the active Word of God as we see more and more clearly that mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of His body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to His saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen.